Good evening, you're watching The Buck Stops Here and I'm Barkha Dutt. The big political story, the impact of the lead story on this very program last night is now being felt in Parliament as Rahul Gandhi is hitting back and saying, go ahead, target me. I don't care. I'm happy to be targeted. I'm used to being targeted. This after a BJP MP, Kirit Somaiya, said he must explain what his role and his linkages are to the Agusta Chopper scam because, according to the BJP, one of his closest aides, Kanish Singh, is linked to a company, MRNGF, in which an Agusta middleman, Guido Haske, was mysteriously made director for 2 months. Rahul Gandhi's aide has argued that he and his section of the family is now estranged from the family that owns MRNGF, but the government is hitting out nonetheless, and the government is saying Rahul Gandhi is simply playing victim. It's no longer good enough to simply say, go ahead, target me. Where are the answers? On government versus Gandhis, which will be our big political debate tonight, we'll be asking whether the Gandhis are now on the back foot. Also coming up at 8:20 tonight, the big newsmaker on the program, she's breaking her silence on her battle with Hrithik Roshan, an ugly battle, but she's holding her own. Kangana Ranaut will be joining us later on the program.
When they're jealous of a woman's success, the first thing she becomes is a lion. Then she becomes, goes on to become a whore. Then she goes on to become a slut. Absolutely. And if she's crazily successful, she becomes a psychopath. And if she's sexually active, she becomes a whore. So all of this, you know, is been used and it's really outdated.
All right, so lots coming up on the program tonight. But let's get started with our top story on the lead tonight. Siddharth Pandey, who broke that story yesterday on BJP MP Kirit Somaiya, writing multiple letters to the Enforcement Directorate. In fact, his most recent letter was on the 30th of April. That's just a couple of days ago. And asking the ED, he's been writing to the ED since 2013, alleging now a direct link between Rahul Gandhi's aide and the Agusta Chopper scam middleman Guido Haske. Siddharth, the tremors of that being felt in Parliament today.
Well, that's right. In fact, according to at least a couple of senior BJP leaders I spoke to, they're saying a storm is coming and it's headed straight for the Gandhis. Mr. Somaiya there making the allegation that the link between Haske, the middleman essentially who spilled the beans through documents recovered from him, linking everybody in this case. And of course, based on the telephonic conversations, his taped telephonic conversations and those documents, the Italian authorities finally went ahead and got the conviction in this case of the CEO of Agusta Westland. So in fact, his role cannot be overlooked. Kirit Somaiya making that argument, the fact that he was on board as a director of MRMGF, a company in which Kanish Singh's grandfather opened that company. Kanish Singh, of course, close aide to Rahul Gandhi. So, in fact, that's something he's said that needs to be probed. The earlier government didn't do it. In fact, he's saying that he expects this government, at least, and the investigating agencies will go ahead and finally prove this tomorrow, an important day in Parliament, as, of course, a lot many more documents, perhaps, are expected to be put on the floor of the House.
Siddharth, briefly, we now have two different confirmations, of course, about that very contentious note of 2008 written by another middleman, Christian Michel. You have Peter Hulé, to whom the note was addressed. You have Michel's lawyer today going on record to say the note was genuine. This note, of course, describing Sonia Gandhi to be a driving force. Now Rahul Gandhi being directly targeted. Kirit Somaiya talking about bringing this up in Parliament.
Well, that's right. In fact, it's definitely not good news for the Gandhis. In fact, many people would say Gandhi's on the back foot. Rahul Gandhi, of course, today saying that I'm used to these allegations against me. Bring it on, essentially, I think was his tone and tenor. But clearly, the government, it seems, has got documents. That's what our sources are telling us, that it's got they got leads, documents, which essentially they're planning to put before Parliament. That's going to be interesting to see exactly what really comes out. But clearly, Kirit Somaiya also leading his charge, saying that the role of Mr. Haske is well established, it's well proven. And this is an important link that links him perhaps with Rahul Gandhi, which needs to be probed. So clearly, in fact, he's also keeping up the pressure along with Sonia Gandhi, whose name figures in those documents. Rahul Gandhi also now perhaps under the scope and scanner as far as the BJP is concerned. And definitely a couple of years ago, he'd brought this to the attention of the ED and the CBI. Will they finally now perhaps investigate some of those links in detail? That's the big question.
Thank you, Siddharth. In fact, the letter you speak about is up on the screen right now. Let's bring it up again. This is Kirit Somaiya's latest letter to the Enforcement Directorate, which clearly wants the Enforcement Directorate to see if the Commonwealth Games scam, in which the MRMGF company is also implicated, and the Augusta scam have a link. And of course, Kirit Somaiya is alleging that this is a company that was formed by the family of Kanish Singh, who's a principal secretary to Sri Rahul Gandhi. Kirit Somaiya alleging a cross-connectivity there. Rahul Gandhi hitting back in Parliament saying, go ahead, target me, I don't care. Let's introduce our panel. Is the Augusta Chopper case now essentially the politics of it becoming a government versus Gandhi's battle? Nalin Kohli of the BJP is with us, Pavan Khera of the Congress is with us, and senior journalist Kumar Ketkar and Ashok Malika also with us. And Nalin, how do you see what's unfolding? Because clearly this case has gone well beyond the former Air Chief S.P. Tyagi. In fact, the principal interest around the entire controversy now is linkages, as and linkages, if they can be proven legally, with Sonia Gandhi or Rahul Gandhi. But that's the big question. So far, given what the BJP has alleged, can you take this all the way and prove something legally?
That is not for me to answer. That will be part of the investigative process, because that would result in what the evidence is, how the prosecution builds a case, and how at the end of an adjudication process in law, the law would see it in terms of it, there would be a judgment. So let's not do that. However, there are few things that we can't miss here. A, the charge of a political vendetta driving the allegations against the Congress leadership, and particularly the first family of the Congress party, cannot be said, because this is emanating out of a judgment in Italy.
Right.
That's critical.
Right.
This is not driven by any BJP leader. This has come out of a court judgment. The body of material, which obviously has formed an important part of, with evidence value, evidential value, for the judgment to be based on, and leading to the conviction of two people, including millions of dollars as fines, for those who gave the bribes, obviously holds true. Otherwise, the court wouldn't have convicted.
Do you agree with Dr. Kirit Somaiya that there is now an answerability that Rahul Gandhi has because his aide Kanish Singh's family is linked to MRMGF, where indeed it's quite a mystery what Guido Haske was doing as a director?
Well, of course he owes an explanation. The problem is that we only hear two things, or we see only two patterns. Mr. Gandhi, Rahul Gandhi, will appear from time to time, give a sound bite and ask questions of everyone. No matter what happens in the nation, he has set up a system for himself to ask questions of the Prime Minister of India. So, I mean, if a tap is not running in a place and he wants to attack the Prime Minister, he'll say, Modi ji ko jawab dena chahiye, yahan pani kyun nahi aa raha hai. So, therefore, he asks. So, today, there is a serious allegation on him. So, he just can't simply say, I'm not afraid, law will take its own course. He should provide answers.
Okay.
And I think that would be the best step forward, because you're setting a standard that you yourself have been seeking from everyone else.
I think that's fair, Pavan. Speaking politically, the fact is Parliament is a space where questions are asked, questions are answered. Kirit Somaiya has been writing this letter since 2013. We now have a confirmation that a 2008 note that refers to Sonia Gandhi as a driving force and someone to be targeted along with her key advisors is genuine. We have two confirmations of that. So how does the Congress duck these questions? And how does the Congress duck these questions by saying, I'm happy to be targeted? How can you describe this as a kind of victimhood?
No, it's not victimhood. It's just a leadership attribute. He's not scared of being targeted. He's just saying that, well, that's their job. Let them target and I'll fight it. What is so wrong in saying that?
Why do we never hear specific rebuttals?
Let this government, which has been sitting on it for the last 2 years, start investigations. For God's sake, who's stopping that? It's their government. And now, Mr. Nalin Kohli says that the Italian court has already passed it. Sorry, where in the judgment have they accused Ahmed Patel, Sonia Gandhi, Rahul Gandhi, or anybody for that matter, barring their own people? Where have
what
they accused our politicians?
What is clear as evidentiary documents is that the middlemen were targeting the power establishment,
fair
which
enough.
At that time was
fair
represented
enough.
By Sonia Gandhi and her
absolutely
family.
Fine. Let me respond to this. Now, the middleman goes and flaunts to his bosses that here, these are the people I need to target, this is the money I need. All middlemen do this all the time to make money for themselves. Where is the evidence that Mrs. Gandhi or anybody on her behalf took a single penny? Is there any evidence?
Let's first get it. That's what the BJP is saying. Nalin,
I'll answer that.
Pavan says, where's the evidence that Mrs. Gandhi took a single paisa? Is it the allegation? Firstly, the direct question, is it the allegation of the BJP that when you say find the bribe recipients, you're talking about Sonia Gandhi? Certainly Subramaniam Swamy is saying that, Member of Parliament.
three statements will sum up what your question is. Yes. Let's go one by one.
Yes.
First of all, when Mr. Khera says that where is Mrs. Gandhi or Ahmed Patel noted in the judgment, of course, he's right about it, but then he's also raising a question. Do they submit themselves to the Italian court's jurisdiction as Indian citizens? Or do they feel the reason or compelled for any reason to feel that the Italian court has a jurisdiction on them? So I think that's a self-defeating courageous
you
statement.
You should come to the studio because there's some sound gap. I don't think you understood what I said. I never said that. I said, let this government who heads all the investigating agencies first
we
investigate.
Personal,
instead of nuanced attacks, instead of attacks
arguments
proxy,
being made by
instead of letters,
I did not interrupt you, Mr. Khera.
Yes, I consider this absolutely as a defense mechanism, and I also consider it downright not gentlemanly.
When I have shown you the decency, no, I want to register my protest. If I have shown the decency to Mr. Khera, for hearing him out, even though I disagree with what he's saying, I have every right to finish what I have to without him offering great pearls of wisdom that I don't agree with.
Now, let me make your point now.
Yes, so I will come back to exactly what I said. Mr. Khera has made a self-defeating argument by pointing out about the jurisdiction of the Italian court over Mrs. Gandhi.
But I didn't.
Second,
say that.
I didn't. Conviction. I have inferred that.
Okay, you.
I have inferred that, and I'm in my rights to infer an assessment of what Mr. Khera says, like he would infer something of what I say.
Okay.
Let's go number two.
Okay, number two.
With regard to Mrs. Sonia Gandhi,
yes.
Mr. Rahul Gandhi, anybody else, they as citizens enjoy the same rights as you, me, or anyone else. They can only be convicted if there is a body of evidence that points to it. This is not a banana republic. The rule of law is clear. So therefore, that is one part. The third is, the allegations against them, it has to be seen in the larger context.
Okay.
My colleague, GVL Narasimha Rao, did a press conference. In it, he pointed out that Mr. Antony rescinded from his own and overturned his own decision about the field trials of the helicopter. Now, who was directing Mr. Antony? He was the defense minister of the country. Certainly, it couldn't have been the air chief and wouldn't have been a joint secretary in the ministry. It had to be for influence which is greater and bearing.
Okay.
So, these inferences come in body of the material with the judgment, in body of the entire statements that are coming, and therefore it would be wild not to have this inference.
I need to get to the others now. Kumar Ketkar and Ashok Malik, before the BJP and the Congress take this debate away. Kumar Ketkar, is it good enough for Rahul Gandhi to say, I'm happy to be targeted? Is it smart for the Congress to start talking about some kind of quid pro quo conspiracy that, you know, the Modi government has struck a deal on the Marines in exchange for information on Sonia Gandhi? Because none of this is actually answering the allegation. And in politics, perception is everything. So even if we don't get into the specific legalities of the charges, there's a perception battle going on here. And that's what the Congress probably finds itself on the defensive about.
Actually, that's the answer. Because politics is so much governed today by perception, perhaps he wants to avoid that. Because any statement he makes or any statement he does not make or any brief comment he makes or he does not make is going to be scrutinized in that very fashion. And perceptions are going to be created by the TV media. So I think he avoided that. He is absolutely in his right to say that I don't want to say anything, let them target me. So I don't think that is wrong or right. And question of defending Gandhi doesn't arise. Gandhi will defend themselves, government will accuse them. And actually what I am seeing is just replay of what happened between 1987 and 1991. Entire thing happened exactly the same way. Both cases originated in foreign countries. It was in Sweden and Switzerland when Chitra
Subramanian. But Kumar, Bofors cost Rajiv Gandhi an election.
That is what I am saying. The replay of events. At that time also the target was Rajiv Gandhi. The target was Rajiv Gandhi because elections are coming. Now the target is Rahul Gandhi and Sonia Gandhi because they are the icons of the Congress. And so 2019 elections are coming. See, 1987 all that began and 1989 was the election. Now 2016 all this began, 2019 are the elections.
But
I think there is so much of replay. I don't want to comment who is innocent and who is guilty. I don't want to defend Gandhis as if they are innocent. I don't want to accuse government simply of conspiracy. But I will not rule out. I will not rule out the conspiracy theory just because conspiracy theories have been condemned.
What's the conspiracy? That this is a design
conspiracy theories exist. Conspiracy theories exist. Whether they are right or wrong have to be proved by demolishing the theory of conspiracy.
Marines, that's what he's talking.
You are talking about the Marines conspiracy theory, Kumar. What is the conspiracy
theory? Yes, I am referring to the Hindu news article. But that has been challenged.
Ashok,
I am not saying that conspiracy theory is correct. I am merely saying that conspiracy theories have their own.
I need to get Ashok in now. Ashok.
I don't. The court in The Hague has made a ruling. I think today or yesterday. I don't think.
Which is also it has been interpreted completely differently by Italy and completely differently
true,
by
fair
India.
Because they want their boys back. We want justice for our fishermen. I don't think the Modi government has such influence over the court at The Hague, to be honest, or any government in India. There are two, three things here. One, when Kumar Kirkar says he doesn't know who's innocent and who's guilty, he's completely right. No one does. None of us is a forensic expert. We haven't seen the evidence. What we do know is that bribes were paid. The bribes were paid to the Tyagi brothers, and perhaps the air chief was also involved, their cousin. But it's fairly clear it didn't stop there. It must have gone further up the chain, further up the food chain to the civilian bureaucracy and to the politicians. Which politicians? Of course, your guess is as good as mine. We also know that...
We deduce that the money trail doesn't end with the Tyagis because of these references in different notes by the middlemen.
No, as Nalin Kohli pointed out, there were certain decisions taken by A.K. Anthony. As we know in this country, especially for a defense deal, it goes all the way up to the cabinet. These are political decisions. You don't leave such decisions to a joint secretary acquisition. You don't. No government does.
Yeah.
Okay. So if there's something wrong with any deal, it has to go back
to
the
Where does the Congress find itself right now politically?
I'll tell you why. Ahmed Patel's name has been mentioned. We now can surmise that the name was not mentioned only because of some loose internet search by a public prosecutor. There is more to it.
Yeah.
Ahmed Patel is the political secretary of Sonia Gandhi. It is perfectly possible that Ahmed Patel, there could be something against him and Mrs. Gandhi could be completely innocent. That is possible. Mm. But the fact is, since she is so close to him or he is so close to her, there will be a needle of suspicion. So the perception battle does come in. All this will need to be investigated, and till such time as it is investigated and proven or not proven, there will be a political skirmish.
So there's a cloud in a sense that remains.
Absolutely.
Over the
Absolutely, and please understand what Kirit Somaiya is saying today cannot be, you know, obviously can't be taken to court, but he's just pointing
flagging
to a few,
coincidences,
which may or may not be correct, but he's been flagging this for 2 years, and this is part and parcel of politics. It
and let me actually
time.
Bring up...
Why is the Gandhi family not used to such questions?
I'm coming to you only, and then Nalin, let's bring up Kirit Somaiya's letter and those images of of Kanish Singh and Rahul Gandhi. The point is, Pawan, here's what's happened. How the BJP would look at it is that there are two political secretaries to the Gandhis. There is Ahmed Patel, advisor and aide to Sonia. There is Kanishk, advisor and aide to Rahul. And what the BJP is flagging, that in both of these cases, there are linkages to the ongoing Agusta Chopper scam, and therefore, there are linkages to the Gandhis. And that is A, fair politics, given these documents in front of us, and B, it seems like too much of a coincidence. That's what people would say.
Barkha, the family is estranged in 2005.
Whose family?
Kanish Singh's family, with the family of the Guptas who head the MGF.
Yes.
They estranged in 2005. There are litigations going on against each other. Mr. whatever the middleman's name is, joins that company, Hashke, joins MGF in 2009. There's a 4-year gap.
But this is also the company implicated in the Commonwealth Games scam, which again is linked to the Congress government.
Somebody has been talking about it for the last 8 years, 7 years. Why isn't this government investigating in the last 2 years the Commonwealth scam?
It's not just Hashke, it's also Mr. Khaitan, the lawyer.
Gautam Khaitan.
Who was also on the board. So, two people in the case. If the authorities find something against me in some corruption scandal, they will investigate all my other business associates, unrelated businesses.
They should.
So, obviously, MGF
cannot ignore the fact that MGF, part of the family of Kanishk Singh and Kanishk Singh, have been estranged for the last 11 years. How can you,
Nalin Kohli,
and this is matter of public record, they're fighting cases in all across the course of Delhi.
Nalin, this is where the Congress would argue that facts are blurring with fiction, that whatever the linkages were with the MRMGF family was well before Hashke comes on the scene to become a director.
I'm not an expert on MGF, IMR, whatever MR the company is.
No, but this is an
I'm
allegation
an
coming
expert.
From the BJP.
No, they have their right to put up their counterpoint. Let's go one by one. I said in the beginning, what will hold is how correct that allegation is and what's the evidence around it. But let me tell you how the BJP sees this, sir. The BJP sees it very simply. The bribe giver is in jail. The bribe giver has given millions of dollars, has to give in terms of fines. Who is the bribe taker? this decision was a favored decision, a company that was not even an original equipment manufacturer. Its norms are changed, and you have a testing of the flight in England for a helicopter that has to fly in Indian conditions. So questions are going to be asked. So obviously it comes to the bribe taker. Look at it politically, which I pointed out on your show, that you do not see who is considered an elusive, very senior Congress leader, that's Mr. Ahmed Patel, on TV. I have for the first time seen him on television.
And what does that say to you?
This, it
what
means
does it
that
say
this
to
matter,
you to see Ahmed Patel
this matter,
on TV?
So it cannot be so dismissed so lightly.
You say it
means
rattled.
The Congress.
Absolutely.
It says he's rattled.
Why do you say that? If he chooses to ignore the media, you will find him arrogant.
He has to Gandhi ignoring the media.
I'm sorry. There is a particular political culture about
every
individual. Again, I'm being
interrupted. Is it Mr. Khera?
Okay, now let
me. I mean, may I finish my point? Yeah. So therefore, I was saying, it's not every day that you see Mr. Ahmed Patel on television. Now, it's his right to choose whether he wants to be or not to be. You can't question that. But the question is, when he does come, can you miss it? So it must
but
be
important. But it's also not
enough.
Every day you bring up
and
the name of Mr. Ahmed Patel in any scam.
May I again?
If you bring up his name,
me.
He's in his right to come out.
Is
he
interrupting me again?
Rahul Gandhi has never responded.
Well, we
but
can't have a decent discussion without somebody being defensive on the show.
What kind of a discussion?
I mean, Mr. Khera, just because I'm loyal to the Gandhi family, go ahead and prove it. Why are you interrupting me and being rude on the show?
You name him and
he's my point. Nobody says there was something wrong. Nobody says.
Why are you so defensive about him?
I should have said it.
What is it that makes you feel that I'm speaking a gospel truth? Say, at the end of it, say I don't agree with Mr. Kohli and the viewer will decide.
Okay, Ashok.
Let me finish. I want to finish my point. I'm being interrupted again and again.
Okay, make finish.
So therefore, my second point was that on Mr. Ahmed Patel, it must be politically important. My third point is that end of the day, the Gandhi family is saying we are being targeted. I can speak with confidence that the maximum targeting ever that I have seen in a political thing is a period of 10 years against Narendra Modi and when he was chief minister, and Narendra Modi ji was targeted in every way, including changing affidavits to somehow implicate a man in a case. So therefore, targeting is not an answer.
Okay.
You fight it out. He fought it out, ladies. And legally,
Kumar first and then Ashok. Kumar Ketkar, I think it's fair to say it's not typical to see Ahmed Patel on TV. For those of us who've covered politics for, you know, I mean, I can probably count on one hand the number of times I've seen Ahmed Patel go studio to studio doing interviews. I think the BJP is fair in a sense of, you know, smelling blood there and saying, okay, we've made them nervous.
But it is not common to see Ahmed Patel, but it was also not common to see Ahmed Patel charged of anything.
Absolutely.
So far.
Exactly.
This was the first time his name has directly appeared.
Yeah.
And direct accusation, so naturally he answered, and he answered very briefly. I don't know whether it is right or wrong, I don't know whether he is innocent or not, I have no brief for either Gandhi's or Ahmed Patel. But I think these are relatively nuances and trivial matters, I don't think they prove anything. The simple point here is, whether Gandhis feel that they are targeted or not, I think they have a right to feel that they are targeted, because that has been going on since 1984, I have covered all this.
What does the word targeted mean, Kumar? What do you mean the Gandhis have a right to feel they're targeted? Targeted means they're innocent people being framed.
Targeted meaning constant attack by the media. At that time there was no 24/7 TV. But even then, if you remember between 1987 and 1989, when VP Singh used to flash the papers that I have the accounts of Sonia Gandhi's account numbers of Sonia Gandhi. I mean, what happened to that?
But sir, the scams are genuine.
But remember, from 1996 to 2004, Congress was not in power. First Devay Gowda, then Gujral, then Vajpayee, and again Vajpayee in 1999. Why did they not investigate?
Okay, last comment, everybody. Kumar. The fact is, I don't know about the Gandhis, but the two scams, Bofors and Agusta, have taken place. They were scams.
And bribes have been paid. Which was traced to Mr. Quattrochi. And the money was released by Mr. H.R. Bharadwajan, the UPA government. We can't run away from that. Bribes have been paid. We have to find the bribe takers.
Nobody is questioning that there must be a scam in Augusta. Please go and investigate.
Do not name
any political leader without a proof. That's my point. How can you go about naming Gandhi and Ahmed Patel? Where is the evidence?
Ahmed Patel's name came up
in a note.
What is the note? Is there a judgment? Is the note, does it mention that where was the money paid and to whom and through whom?
Not in Sonia Gandhi's case, perhaps, but Ahmed Patel's name was mentioned.
No, you're wrong. Just go and read the judgment.
No, 1 minute.
The judge says,
MF Patel, the reference to Sonia Gandhi are different.
I'm sorry, Barkhar. The judge also says that, look, this is not my brief. Let the Indian investigating agency
investigate. The judge doesn't say they've taken money. The judge linked them as people whom the middlemen were targeting.
They were targeting is a different issue. Did they target? Did they succeed in targeting? There are many questions.
Last word. Nalin. Last word, please. Out of time.
Very briefly, the agencies will do what they have to. Mr. Khera made a comment that what was the agencies doing? My information is they've interviewed and interrogated more than 100 witnesses.
But not Tyagi Brothers in the last 2 years.
Strangely. Mr. Khera is a record. You know, I don't think I'll be able to be a civil discussion if I'm going to have Mr. Khera repeatedly. So therefore, the second point I'm making is that Mr. Khera's advice that he's saying do not target political people is a very sound, very sage, sagacious, worthy of considering advice. It starts at home, Mr. Khera. I can in 10 years remember how many times I've sat on TV facing allegations against Mr. Modi, and I still do on a regular basis ever since he's become Prime Minister of India.
Okay.
Sagacious advice, perhaps advice starts at home.
Okay, I think we are going to leave it here. Nalin Kohli, Pawan Khera, Kumar Ketkar.
Barkha, only one point.
Yes. Okay, quickly.
Arun Nehru's name was mentioned in the Bofors deal.
Yes.
And all these Lotus, Alphabets, all that game we have seen. Rajiv Gandhi was the Prime Minister. Sonia Gandhi is not the Prime Minister. So Rajiv Gandhi could be attacked directly because he was the
Sonia Gandhi is not the final authority on signing any papers.
Why is the Congress so worried? You shouldn't worry.
Sorry,
Dr. Manmohan.
Nobody is worried.
I will allow Ashok a rebuttal to Kumar.
You know, the fact is, Mrs. Sonia Gandhi was the head of the UPA government. So, if there was a scandal linked to perhaps her political secretary, then people will put her under some cloud of suspicion as well.
It's called politics. I think the politics of it has to be acknowledged. Kumar, it's a fair political argument. The courts will take their own time in establishing legal guilt. But at the moment, the fact is that there is a court that has concluded that corruption did take place and has said that the UPA government did not cooperate with the probe.
No,
so now we do have to find who took this money.
In the world.
Okay.
Anywhere in the world, arms deals are by scams all over the world. It is not only in India. So it is not surprising that Augusta or Bofors
are scams. That doesn't make it okay, sir. But we leave it there. That's another discussion.
Okay.
We'll all be back tomorrow.
Okay.
Tomorrow the defense minister speaks in parliament.
So we'll come back.
Thank you. We'll all be back. Pawan and Ashok and Kumar and Nalin. Thank you so much for joining us on the Buck Stops here. And now on to our newsmaker on the Buck Stops here tonight. She's described herself proudly to be a badass. She keeps being an award winner. In fact, she's in the capital to pick up her third national award. And it seems that above all, Kangana Ranaut is a feisty feminist fighter. Controversy leaves her near untouched, at least overtly, because her answer to all her critics is simply her extraordinary success and her extraordinary journey from a small town girl to Bollywood's reigning queen. Kangana Ranaut is on the program today. Congratulations, Kangana. In so many ways, I feel that your success is your most effective answer to anybody who's been trying to pull you down. Is that where you get your confidence from? You know, people keep trying to drag you in one controversy after the other, but you're here picking up your third national award, and all they can do is make up theories about you.
Yeah, thank you, Barkha. Thank you for this amazing introduction. I think that's the best revenge. Success is the best revenge. And I always feel women should, answer back with either sarcasm or success. That really kills. I feel extremely happy today that, you know, in the middle of all of this, I could actually see some silver lining there. And so it's very gratifying.
Kangana, we've spoken earlier about how extraordinary your personal journey has been. You're somebody who came without any benefactors, any godfathers, any sugar daddies. The first mentor that you had in your in the industry actually was physically abusive with you. And I still remember what you told me a few months ago. You said that as you lay there on the floor bleeding, you knew that you would either die or kill the man who was old enough to be your father. But you said you discovered the fighter in you. Would you say that your most definitive characteristic is that Kangana Ranaut is a fighter? She's first a fighter and then she's an actor.
I think that is the spirit I think we all have in us. But in me, I really, I make sure that that is the dominant spirit in me. And I don't deliberately, try and fight or offend people, but somehow I just ended up being this serial offender. It's not that I don't have moments of doubts or despair where I look at myself and, try and reconsider my ideologies and my attitude and try and seek that little social skill that I miss, where I just keep offending people. But to be honest, Varka, if there is something that I lack or I miss, I'm not aware of it. I'm very happy with myself. I think there are two kind of people, a people pleaser or self pleaser. I definitely fall into that category of self pleasers. I care about my own priorities and my own life more than what others' expectations of me is. And that sometimes I have to really, not wait for people to give me my due. I really have to get up and get it myself. That can lead to conflicts and sometimes to fights also. I don't mind being a fighter because I just get to live my life on my terms. And it is, entirely my prerogative to have that life, the kind of life I have today.
I absolutely agree with you, and I also think that when women are individualistic, we are judged in a way that men simply are not. We are expected as women to be pliable, and when we defy norms, we are called names. Kangana, in the last few weeks, you've been called a number of names. Some of them have grossed me out personally. You've had an ex-boyfriend virtually, describing you as someone who does jadu tona, even bringing in menstrual blood into it, making you sound like some deranged, physically abusive woman. You have another very big star in a Hrithik Roshan who slapped legal notices on you and made you sound again like this crazy person who had an imaginary relationship. How awfully difficult and hurtful has this period been for you? First, I want to understand that, and then I want to ask you how you deal with all these bizarre things that are, this name calling that you've been subjected to.
See, Barkha, the thing is, I wouldn't want to, subject people to my personal opinion of my personal equations, which has been in the past or, which are a part of my past, my past. And anybody's personal equation is entirely, for them to, decide. And it's up to their perspective how they see it or deal with it. This platform, it doesn't allow me to delve into my own perception of a certain equation. But having said that, a leading lady of, Indian cinema today and 3-time National Award winning actress, I must say this sort of the recent turn of events has been extremely alarming for me also. Like, though I have been raised in an environment, I've grown up in an environment which has been quite, misogynistic, let's be frank about it. There's no denying that we're extremely sexist country. Even for someone like me, it's been extremely unsettling for me to deal with the kind of environment that we as, urban people or metropolitan people have to live in. I wonder what do women in the interior of India go through. It doesn't upset me when people call me names and talk about my period blood. But But just don't call it gross, because there's nothing gross about period blood. when we think about period, it's my ability to reproduce. It's my ability to give birth. You know, there's nothing gross about my blood. And I think to introduce this idea where you talk about, in the same breath, you talk about my blood and you talk about it being gross, you know, it just gives women a sort of complex, you know, like women who will tomorrow lead our country, our nation, you know, that is there something gross about being a woman? There is nothing, to be honest. If there is nothing gross about a man's body fluids, there's nothing, you know, mysterious or evil about woman's body fluids either. And as far as all these name calling has been concerned, I think we as women have, you know, sort of defending ourselves way too long, you know, and these are 1,000-year-old weapons that are still used against women, you know. When they're jealous of a woman's success, the first thing she becomes is a dion, then she goes on to become a whore, then she goes on to become a slut.
Absolutely.
And if she's crazily successful, she becomes a psychopath. And if she's sexually active, she becomes a whore. So all of this, you know, is been used, and it's really outdated, you know. We need to not, and it doesn't upset me, because also because I'm an artist and I've really very closely researched, you know, people who deal with mental illnesses. I don't find anything upsetting about, or anything gross or degrading about dealing or, you know, fighting with a mental illness like bipolar or schizophrenia. If a certain section of media is trying to suggest that, you know, it's to humiliate a woman, you can use mental illness, it won't work. Because I have played a schizophrenic, I've played a bipolar patient on screen, and I don't see anything humiliating when they call me a, you know, a psychopath or a bitch or a whore. I've also played a whore also on screen, and I have my close interaction with prostitutes have allowed me to be extremely empathetic to them, and doesn't work on me. Which I love Shakespeare, and like any other artist, I'm also smitten by witches or fairies or demons or gods or, you know, mysticism or romanticism for that matter. And it doesn't scare me. How would any of us, you know, hope to write a Harry Potter or, you know, be a Shakespeare if we already instill so much fear and so much, you know, this thing, xenophobia in our children's heads, you know. So we need to be a bit more, open about anybody's religious practices. Like, I love to be a Hindu, and I do follow Sanatan, but I have a lot of acceptance for religions like Buddhism or contemporary religions like Scientology, who don't even involve the worshipping of gods. Why do we have to run down a certain section of people every day to, you know, provide entertainment in entertainment dailies? So we need to just accept all of this. We need to accept it and move on as a society. It doesn't work. It's not upsetting for me to being called a whore or a bitch or a, you know, but don't call my period blood gross, because there's nothing gross about it.
No. You know, in fact, when I said that it grossed me out, I of course did not mean that anyone's period is anything to be embarrassed about. I think, in fact, I've always said that, you know, we should be able to say out loud that, you know, if you're having a period, we're having a period. You don't need sanitary napkins that are called Whisper.
No, it's not you. I understood what you said.
Yeah.
But in that, I understood. But people suggested that, you know, if it's not an appetizer or a drink to be mixed in your cocktails, first of all, it's not edible. Yeah. So that warning you can take from me. Yeah. And if you suggest that it should be mixed in things, you can't say, oh my God, that's gross.
Yeah.
You know, first of all, who suggested that it's edible? It's not. So that's what I meant. I didn't mean what you, you know, I understood what you said.
Yeah, I was just going to say that what is really gross is for men to create narratives like this, and for Twitter trends to say things like characterless Kangana. This is the way women are attacked. This is the way women are shamed. And you've said something so important. You've actually said that if you're, you know, by presenting me as someone who's mentally ill, you're actually using genuine mental ailments as a tool of humiliation, and that will not work with Kangana. I run out. That's actually what you're saying, that you can try and humiliate me, but whatever word you throw at me, I will wear it as a badge of honor. Isn't that what you're saying in a way?
Yeah, that's exactly what I'm saying. And people who are fighting drug abuse, people who are constantly trying to, you know, get out of any sort of helpless habit, for that matter. It could be, you know, use of drugs or anything. But as far as physical violence is concerned, apart from that one incident hitting a man with my stiletto, I've never, you know, gone down to raise my hand on anyone, because I feel, like you mentioned in the beginning of your interview, and you can kill them with your sarcasm or success, why why use your hands? I would really encourage women to kill them with your success, you know, and that is really fatal. Trust me.
And that one time you picked up your stiletto to hit a man, you were actually hitting a man who was hitting you. So that's really not the same as painting Kangana as this physically abusive woman.
Yes.
You were protecting yourself.
Defending. Yeah. I was protecting, and that day I realized that every time you go to hit a man, you will end up hurting yourself a lot more than you can hit him, because that's the way women are made. And I'm very proud of my fragile body. I am very proud of my soft hands and my sharp mind. So I want to use what is sharp, not what is soft.
Now, Kangana, what's really sharp, of course, is your acting and your talent. And, you know, I think you're absolutely right. Success is the sweetest revenge. That said, as you stand here in the capital of India to collect your third national award, what is Kangana Ranaut feeling inside? Are you really as strong as you appear all the time? Are there moments when you lock your door and you have a little cry, or you want to throw something at the wall and all these horrible things that are being said about you, that your personal life, your email, are being put out in public? There have to be moments when even this steely woman I'm talking to you breaks a little bit.
Yeah, of course. We all do, Barkha. We all do. And I think that's the best thing about feminine, because if we are not sensitive, how do we expect to be sensitive to, you know, others' feelings if we ignore our own? There have been moments when I just, you know, randomly keep breaking down. And I really feel cornered, and, you know, I really feel targeted. But then there are cupcakes you can always fall back on.
Now, tell me something. You've come under a lot of pressure, I'm aware of this, by big people in the industry. Ki Kangana, maafi mang lo, yaar. Maafi mang lo. Bol do ki galti ho gayi. Say you misunderstood. Say you were communicating with an imposter and all will be forgiven. Kangana, you have refused to apologize. You have taken on a big industry family head on. How have you responded to these attempts by some big Bollywood names to mediate and get you to say sorry?
Well, like I said, Varka, I can't really talk about my personal equations, because that would be really unfair to this platform and this situation. And I'm not entitled to give my views on something which will be decided in court. But generally speaking, on my own introspection moments, there are moments when I feel that, is there something that I can do to make things easier for me and for people around me? Is there a skill that I lack which really helps me to convey my own thoughts or emotions in a more, clearer manner? But honestly, if there is something that I lack, I'm not aware of it. And I cannot pretend to be sorry for things that I am not. And I cannot fake to be somebody, and I pretend to be somebody else I'm not. I really don't know what to do in a situation like this. I wish I would have not offended so many people. You know, that is never the idea. And I wish people were happy with me, and I would have had a better, I'm happy, but there are way too many emotions flying around, you know, on this day, which was so hugely awaited and anticipated. But this is the way it is, and I wish I could have done, I don't know, but if I don't know how to be anybody other than who I am, and I am very happy with myself.
Kangana, you've gone through so much. You know, your sister Rangoli has been the victim of an acid attack. You have seen physical abuse when you entered the industry. Then you've hit stardom. Now you're seeing your life being deconstructed like this. You have had to bring around conservative parents. You've taught yourself English. You know, you've had days on the pavement when you started off without food, without knowing where to go. What's kept you going, and what would you say to other women? Because, you know, you're a role model, not just in the industry, but you're a role model, according to me, for women who are trying to live on their own terms.
Well, I think, Barkha, it's just, something that what you stand for. What I take a lot of inspiration from you as well. And, you know, like collectively how there are, like, you know, times when you do feel unsure of who you are and follow your instinct or your intuition. But, you know, even in this time, there are so many people who are writing open letters and blogs and maybe supporting me, not supporting me, but there are a lot of strong opinions that are coming from women. And I appreciate that. And, you know, you do feel, you know, beaten down. You do feel like, this is it. I can't, you know, like, drag myself any further. But then some silver lining, like today, I'm getting a national award. At least I feel, on some level, I feel vindicated. Mm. On a personal level, I feel extremely unsure of my choices in life. And I feel like I don't know, what do I do to offend people? I really don't understand. But, you know, like, I'll figure it out. Mm. I'll emerge a better person, or maybe somebody who is not as offensive as I am. It just seems everybody is offended with me, except for, you know, just some people. I don't know.
Well, we're not offended. Yeah. We love talking to you. Let me ask you a last question, Kangana. You know, you... Yeah. It's been such a journey. You know, today, do you have any regrets? So look, we've all made bad personal choices in our life. We've all ended up at times with men who weren't good for us. That's not the point. Is there something you personally feel that I could have done this differently? I regret this, or something that you feel embarrassed or ashamed of, not because other people are telling you to be embarrassed or ashamed of it, but because it's your own terms that you fail to live up to. Is there any sense of regret on this big day?
No, not really. Not really, because I think I've always followed, that instinct. And it's been quite a roller coaster, but I feel that I'm on the right track, because my journey is not from Bandra to Juhu. My journey is from, you know, like a remote village of Manali to, where I am today, Rashtrapati Bhavan. So, this is an extraordinary journey.
Yeah.
I can't expect it to be any other way, I guess. And it has to have so many plot points.
Yeah.
Barkha, we can't hope it for it to be a fairy tale. Even fairy tales have villains.
Yeah, of course. Now, before you go, the thing I'm really proud of you for is that you turned down a 2 crore offer to do fairness creams. You've said, that's bullshit. I'm not going to do that. And I just want you, in your last message, as a woman, as a feminist, to say something about being a woman in your industry. How difficult is it? What is it that none of us who are insiders in your industry, what is it that goes on in terms of sexism that we don't get to see? You've, of course, spoken about pay parity. You were the first one to speak about that. You rejected fairness creams. You're the highest paid female actor in your industry. How sexist is your industry?
Well, we live in a very, male chauvinistic society, and we know that. Like, there's no point in pretending that we don't. But industry is no different. But I think it's particularly, sexist, because women are expected to be just glam dolls and bimbettes and pretty little piece of ass. And that's quite convenient, isn't it? And who doesn't like easy life?
Mm.
But we are pretending to be that way for the longest time. That's not true. And I feel that that, you know, high time that we give, you know, we reveal our real self and real identities, because it's unbelievable that women have been such a object, literally object, in, you know, on screen, off screen, they've been objectified and they've been treated like almost like objects. Mm. So, and I feel that right now is the time when people are openly accepting all kind of women. And for me, like, it's the society where I don't feel embarrassed, though every attempt is being made to embarrass me, you know, whether through lies or through facts or through information or through, you know, exposition, whatever, you know, but every attempt is being made to embarrass me. And it is credit to society where I don't feel embarrassed. If I were, I would, you know, not pretend not to be, but I'm not embarrassed, you know. I'm not, as a woman, like I said, as an artist, I love witches, I love demons, I love to play characters who are dealing with some sort of, you know, difficult conditions, patients, you know, not just mental patients, but even patients with cancers or things like that. And a whore is another one of my favorite characters. So why judge people? Why to, you know, disassociate with a certain section of... And I love all religions. Mm. And if I were in medieval ages, I would have been a really head witch of some community. Who knows?
Well,
who knows? We don't know that. So why do we have to judge anybody? So, you know, we need to just make peace with this and move on, and let's see what is the next thing that they use on us. I'm curious about that, because this is really so old, so outdated. It doesn't work anymore, seriously.
I agree. Vamp, witches, whore, we can wear all of those labels in the way that we want to. I couldn't agree with you more. In fact, many people won't understand it, but we can end with saying, here's to witches then, right? We can raise a toast to witches, because, you know, we can embrace a word and make it what we want to, right? We can make any word into what we want it to be. Kangana Ranaut,
yes,
you keep living on your
Absolutely.
Own terms. We love the fact that you live on your own terms. Congratulations again, and thank you so much
for
joining
Barkha.
Us on the program tonight.
Thank you, Barkha. Thank you.